Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sam and Greg with Noel on the other side of the glass. We made it back home. You know what I feel like? We've been on a trip, and we brought the car into the garage like about midnight last night,
yep.
And now we're waking up, we're back home.
There we go.
We're back home. We can talk about stuff where we want to, and we don't have to worry about, you know, the morning shift and Steak and Sandra and the steakhouse and all that. But listen, for those of you listening now that happen to be listening Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and kept us with you as you were getting ready for Thanksgiving, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was a nice visit.
It was.
But it's nice to be back home.
And we left everything, you know, we didn't tear up anything. Everything is like it, as it should be.
Okay. Except for that empty thing of the hand stuff to clean up things. They used up all the Clorox wipes. All right. So here's the story. Sports ain't off the top. Folks, it's cold outside.
It is.
It is flat cold.
Yeah.
It is almost.
December is coming in.
Well, this is like October in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not because there's no wind out there.
Well, if you walk between these buildings, there's some wind.
Maybe so. Maybe a little. But, I mean, right now, it's
you're right. You're right.
That's the thing. It's a little more tolerable. But maybe later today, the wind kicks up. The wind kicks up with what's going on outside. Man, you're going to feel it. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you.
Let's go out and shop tomorrow.
It's going to be painful.
A lot of people coming home, and the craziness I experienced already on the highways this morning. So just be aware. Be aware that there are people, unfortunately, feeling like they need to be in a hurry to get home.
And not just home, but passing through. Remember, a lot of people pass through our metro area. Either they're going to go around it with 285, they're afraid to come through downtown, or some have to come through here to deal with the downtown connector. So once again, as I like to say, pack your patience. Today, especially if you're coming downtown for the Falcons game and you're driving, if you're not taking MARTA, I would definitely take MARTA today because of what the conditions of the roads. You know, by the time the game ends, it's going to be thick as a brick out there trying to, you know what I mean,
getting dark earlier and all that sort of stuff. So, and people are past the niceness of, you know, when Monday, Tuesday of last week hit, everybody's all jovial and nice and going to visit the family and we're getting turkeys and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. Not now. We're in December now, and that holiday angst is in full effect.
Isn't that something?
But I want to ask you, as we start off here, we got a number of things to talk about. We'll hit the obvious off the top just to mention it. But you have reminded me, because I didn't live down here, I didn't cover it. You talked about some of the famous brawls that the Braves had.
Not just that, with the Braves brawl, but also Georgia and Georgia Tech.
Right.
I think 93 was this massive, but really, really ugly that just wouldn't end. just would not end. And it was on TV, and Ray Goff's out there trying to drag players. It was.
I can imagine. I like to hear Larry Munson's call on that.
There was no fighting Friday night. Them dudes were too tired. No, we would fight y'all, but we go go home.
We going home. Think of that. Could you imagine the snoring on that bus ride for Georgia Tech folks going back, coming back here to Atlanta for that 45-minute, whatever hour drive?
I mean, 8 overtimes, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Did you think of me during the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know both of y'all. I was going to call you. I said, no, I'm not going to jinx it. But I know both of y'all. I was sitting there looking at flights to Vegas. Because I figure if I won this, I made this call, we're going to play some lottery. We're going to play some roulette.
Yeah.
So I'm actually feel justified.
They're up 17-0 halftime.
And I feel justified because it took Georgia 8 overtimes to make me a liar.
Yep. How about that?
Because I called it and I just felt it. I didn't know why, but you saw Georgia Tech play in a way, and we saw Georgia not look like the Georgia you expect going into a game like this.
And we'll get into the next segment because we're going to talk about Texas on their way to town. That's a running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has a running quarterback. When they change the pace, guy named Manning.
Yeah.
Let's see if they get a steady dose of him next week. But we got other questions about next week when we get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah. I was actually teeing up the events of Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, very
from
much.
From yesterday.
Very much, very much. Everybody says it's the big rivalry week. It's the rivalry week, and things could get tense. I didn't realize that was the fourth straight win.
Oh, yeah. Well, you need to call my house. You want to know about records when it comes to them two
teams.
But
everybody just know that was the whole thing. You know, Harbaugh's job was hanging in the balance if he never beats Ohio State. I didn't realize that yesterday was the fourth consecutive win.
That's what it was 4 years ago, somewhat around that area, where he decided he wasn't going to be the next Bo Schembechler. And he changed out all those old school coaches that he had, and he started rapping and embracing what's next. And he started bringing in younger coaches, and that's when it all changed. Now, you can say something about the dude on the sidelines taking video pictures, but that's something Bo Schembechler would have done, right? You know, so he had all the newness. He brought in a whole new staff of people. Some of them were with him with the Chargers,
mm-hmm.
and some of them got their own situations. But that's when it all happened, and that's when it turned. And
why do you have to do that?
Because
But why do you have to bring a flag on somebody? You just beat them. Everybody in the world saw it.
Come on.
So why do you have to do that?
It's college, and it's right. All college has got is rivalries.
And, okay, great.
And that's why, to answer your question, it's as simple as that. Them dudes over on the other side of the fence, we hate them. And they got the clock. The clock that's in the office of both Ohio State and Michigan's head coach that started yesterday. After the win,
it started
this is many hours and this many days until the next time we face Ohio State. Not the national championship, not the Big Ten championship, when we face Ohio State. So that's how tense it is. And I don't know that there is another rivalry as big as that when you talk about the totality of college football. Now, realize down here is a different animal and people will gravitate toward their region.
I think nationally still, I don't think there's anybody, it's Army-Navy. You know, we talk nationally.
Well, that's the oldest, if you will.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. But, I mean, none of those teams are competing for national championships and have the kind of prominence in that regard.
And it's a different kind of rivalry.
Yeah.
That's a rivalry for us because they're the ones protecting us. So that's a military thing from top to bottom. But what other rivalry has silliness like this, like what we saw yesterday?
All of them got some of it.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. It's that rivalry. And then there's some who pretend they have a rivalry where the other one team feels like there is one and the other team don't. And we could look at, like you talked about, Michigan. Michigan State thinks that Michigan is their rival. Michigan don't look at them like that.
No.
No, you're your little brother. You get over here and be quiet. We hate them dudes over there. At least you're in our state. And I'm sure that there are others.
Well, there are others because between those two teams, the right to go to the Rose Bowl and down through the years in the conference championship has come down to those two teams, and that's added so much to the rivalry. I think if that wasn't the case, then you'd be talking Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Well, let me ask you this. This is the one I was curious about that you could add some perspective on, maybe. Florida State.
Yeah.
Before Steve Spurrier and Bobby Bowden were there, was that a thing?
You don't want to get to me with the state.
Oh, really? See, I don't know nothing about that. I'm asking.
Because then there's Miami down the south. What about that?
But Miami, I mean, okay, they had a window, right? Because that was that 90s, you know, with Michael Irvin and Warren Sapp and them boys. But what was going on before then? I'm just saying they haven't been around doing it and had a rivalry as long. They became one, and they stepped into the Garden Party of the mother
now,
two.
Remember now, Florida State, before the 50s, was a girls' school.
And what was – I thought that was Miami. No, was it something like that?
But Florida State was women's school.
Okay. I believe that. I thought Miami was something else.
That changed, you know, the whole dynamic changed with all of them. And it also has something to do with a certain HBCU in Tallahassee. And that's the whole backstory.
All right. We'll change regions.
Right.
Texas, Oklahoma, what used to be.
Yeah. When they win the conference, when they win the Big Eight.
Right.
Right.
But then there
was still Oklahoma State in Oklahoma. They have a name for that one. What's the name of
that? Was it the Red River or something?
No, the Red River is Texas, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And that's always midseason. It's not at the end. You know, that's always a midseason game. That's never the end of the game. We used to have Arkansas and Texas used to be toward the back end of the season. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M would be traditionally this weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend. They brought that one back yesterday.
Nationally – And
UCLA Southern
Cal. That's the one I was just going to mention.
Oh, they played that last week. And nobody
cared.
I saw it by accident. I stumbled on that. Oh, man.
That's the one I was going to mention.
UCLA,
And then you mentioned, UCLA and USC.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so there's a number of rivalries.
Around this, next door, though, the Alabama and Auburn, that one's everybody knows that one. And because of, you know, one particular team would always be in contention for national championship, and people watch that, and Auburn would want to see if they could spoil the party. And usually that happens at Auburn, except for the time Cam Newton went up to Tuscaloosa and he won the Heisman Trophy that day. You know, so I mean, you got the different rivalries that mean a lot. But to have people go out there and want to plant flags, like yesterday up at NC State in North Carolina,
they were watching the game.
I guess so. They saw this.
It's a copycat league.
You think we can go out and do this? Let's go out here. You know, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. It's just like rushing the field. Yeah, we got rush in the field this year. Everybody wins a game over somebody. Here, people come down, want to tear down goalposts. Now, everybody wants to go out and plant flags on fields. Hey, it's amazing, right?
The power of
social media.
I feel that for a second, and then my second thought is, man, come on. You got to remember what it was like to be 18 and 19. Because that's what I do, and that's how I justify it.
I don't justify it because now these folks getting paid. These folks getting paid money to get out there and do that. Yes, yes.
Not the rush in the field, folks.
But no, I'm talking about the ball players.
And not all the ball players are getting paid.
You know, but enough of them are.
You sure about that?
Or they wouldn't be there.
Well, not all of them. There's 53 guys
At places like that we're seeing on TV, everybody's getting a check. Now, everybody may not be getting the same size.
That's the thing.
But that's your thing. But they're getting compensated. And they're getting compensated to go out and do that. I mean, that's the other side of it, right? The other part of it is, you know, the way some of these guys were treated. And a lot of people making a deal about the pepper spray and the players out there yesterday.
Yeah, they had to break that up somehow.
But do you do that to folks that's getting six-figure NIL deals?
Well, you can't shoot them. And you can't
hang on a second.
You can't shoot. You got a big mob of activity going on. You guys call to come. Hey, y'all over there with the badges. Get over here and break this up. Okay, so you can't go in there and hit people over the head. Plus, they're wearing helmets. You can't tackle them.
I saw people take helmets off. Why would you take your helmet off in a situation like that?
No.
Ain't you supposed to be in school? You're supposed to learn something.
All right.
College. You're supposed to learn it. You know what? If everybody's out here swinging and fighting, the guy's got, I need to keep my helmet on.
Okay. All the more reason you asked about pepper spray. That's what they're reduced to. Because, again, you can't, most of these guys are 10 to 15 years older than the guys that are fighting on the field. Plus, they're wearing equipment, so you can't use all the little utility belt like Batman. You can't pull out the stuff and do something to them to get them to break them apart. So the only thing you can do is what they resorted to. And it's unfortunate. It really is.
I think we haven't heard the last of that.
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
You know what I was reminded of? Why is Michigan getting in this again? Because it was 2 years ago that these dudes were fighting with Michigan State, and people were taking their helmets off and swinging at each other. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was a nasty fight.
That's bad stuff, yep.
So, yeah, we have not heard the end of that, but we also haven't heard the end of this college football season and these games that took place. We're going to get into that. And how about the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah.
How about the Hawks? Noel's got something to say about that.
Of course, it's a game day Sunday.
Yes. So, again, you got Falcons. We're going to get you set with the opening act for Falcons and Chargers. So we're just getting started on this Sunday morning, first day of December. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. This is one of those oxymorons.
Okay.
We got Alabama singing about Texas. I'm all confused. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this first day of December. We're sitting here talking about this conference championship game that's going to take place here in Georgia at Mercedes-Benz, Texas, and Georgia. And you wondered about something, Mr. Crenshaw, and you've now had it confirmed, which we should start off talking about Texas and coming across the Mississippi this way, and they ain't been over here.
They have not.
That's surprising, right?
First time they've been to Atlanta. First trip to Atlanta. And I remember several years ago when Ohio State came here to play in the Peach Bowl. Mm-hmm. What a huge deal it was for the Ohio – and big deal for the city to have Ohio State in town. I remember the band members wore their band hats wherever they went.
Whatever they went
around town so people knew they were Ohio State band members. They were thrilled to be here. I can't wait to see what happens with Texas coming to Atlanta. And oh, by the way, there's going to be a whole lot of money spent when they come to town. I don't know what the hotel room rates are right now.
No.
But I mean, there's a lot of money that's going to be spent if Texas is coming to town.
What else do we need tended to? Because we got Alabama fixing our potholes.
Yeah.
So what's that Texas money going to fix?
I don't know, but they're coming to town with plenty of it.
And here's what we got. We got beef.
Christmas come early.
We got beef versus pork ribs.
Whoa.
Let's catch that. That's a good one. Yeah. I was waiting to save that.
But here's the question. Are they going to let the big steer buffalo thing into Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Well, who knows? I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
No, that thing caused an assault last time. It was on neutral ground.
But that was in New Orleans.
Okay, neutral ground.
But I wasn't saying it was inside. Will they let it inside? Remember.
Why?
Because when we were in the MLS Cup Championship, they didn't want to let them folks from Portland bring that tree in.
Yeah, that big piece of wood.
Big chipper. Who's going to clean that stuff up?
Exactly.
This thing is going to leave some different kind of chips on the inside. If he comes in here.
No, put him out there by the bird.
Put him out.
By the falcon.
And you do?
Put him in a cage out by the falcon.
You don't keep Devo in a cage.
What do you care about where they keep Devo?
He's not kept in a cage.
Why do you
Bevo
care?
It's Bevo.
It is. I didn't say that.
And I emailed both you and Noel something about the origin of Bevo. Because a lot of people know about the origin and the name.
What? Give us a little history, because you know I'm all about that.
The way it goes.
Then I have another story about Bevo.
Oh, good. This is back in the day when schools in that part of the country all had live mascots. The live mascots have kind of disappeared. The animal rights folk in there, they even try to say something about Ugga. They can talk about Ugga all they want to. Ugga's going to show up at the game.
Ugga lives good, though, too.
Ugga lives very good. But, I mean, back then, you obviously had the Buffalo of Colorado. Mm-hmm. Houston had a live cougar, Shasta.
LSU?
LSU keeps them in a cage. You don't come to the games. These were animals who were coming to the games. Shasta the Cougar would come to Houston's games. Baylor had real live bears, not big ones, but bear cubs that they would bring to games. They brought them to the Peach Bowl one year. They gave them a bottle of Coca-Cola. The bear sat there and drank the Coke. Why are you laughing, man?
Because I'm thinking of that big polar bear I did a commercial with in the world of Coca-Cola. Now, that would have been a fight.
That would have been.
You'd have put that under a Zach Call fight, his undercard.
Bevo, the steer, and this goes back to like 1916, 1917, because the mascot before the steer was actually a pit bull.
Did they change the name of the mascot?
Pit bull terrier.
And so it wasn't Longhorns, obviously.
No, it wasn't Longhorns for that. The pit bull mascot, what was his name? They had a different name for him. What they call him? They call him Pig.
Okay, hang on a second. There's a whole other joke right there. But go ahead.
He had a pit bull terrier called Pig. That was the mascot. Then they got this. And originally, what's wrong, man? We're trying to get ready for our visitors that are coming, Greg.
I'm thinking of somebody looking at a pit bull and calling it a pig. I'm thinking there's some education that needs to happen there. Or we've got a special needs person who's got dyslexia a little bit. Hey, that's an ostrich.
No, they called him pig. They didn't say he was a pig.
Oh, well, that's the first thing I thought of.
But they called him pig.
Again, this is like Alabama singing about Texas. Everything's all back, you know, where it's...
Bevo. Anyway, the Longhorn steer's name was Bo. But the season before, and if you look at your email, I sent you an email, a photo. The legend has it that it was the animal was kidnapped by Texas A&M, the Aggies.
Okay.
They kidnapped it.
Yeah, they always do that.
But they branded him with the score of last year's game, which was 13-0. And then they turned him loose and he came back and said, well, the Texas folks said, we can't have our mascot with the score of last year's game going to the game. So what do we do? So we got to rebrand him. We're going to take that 1-3 and complete it and make that a B, right?
Get out of here.
Dash in the middle. Make
get
it
out of here.
I'm just saying.
That's how that happened?
That's one of the legends of Bevo. They rebranded the score
from
the
game. And this poor animal has become a blackboard
because the people, you can't have our mascot with the score. Texas A&M had won the previous year. and they branded the score. Now, here, now drag them out there to the game so everybody can see them with the score from last year's game. And so they had to rebrand it to make it B-E-V-O. And that's how Bevo. That's one of the legends of Bevo.
Okay.
But my question is, are we going to let him in the bins?
No.
Why not?
Everything that you just gave me every reason why not to let him in, and I'm saying no, and you're going to argue that.
Well, it's not his fault. The animal doesn't have the Bevo doesn't have no
animal
problem.
Won't even know. If you keep him in Texas and feed him well, he won't even know. Put a widescreen in front of him, and he'll sit there and every time the team scores. No, why would you bring him in there if you know there's a possibility?
First time coming to Atlanta.
I mean, they're obviously going to do it. I understand that. And they've got plenty of space to keep him.
And
apart.
He doesn't run all over the place like Ralphie the Buffalo. He kind of moves kind of slow. You know,
no, they want that picture at Mercedes-Benz.
You know,
they want that picture of
they paid the money to join this conference to have a right to do that. And so that's what's coming up this week. You know, the thing is, will Georgia be ready and be able to duplicate what they did there? We figured this team would probably meet again, either in this conference championship game or in the playoff. We knew after Georgia beat Texas this season that they would likely meet again.
Somebody, someplace has made a call to Mercedes-Benz, if there is a vending area for somebody to set up a little restaurant, temporary restaurant, there's going to be some big old beef ribs here for that game, as opposed to like herbs and got some nice pork ribs, all the stuff that we normally used to eat in here.
Yeah.
Them folks in Texas, it's all about beef ribs.
Or them big old steaks with them long bone.
Them Fred Flintstone things are going to come up in here, and they're going to pop it down on the side of the car. But they're going to make sure that there's some beef ribs in this city.
Well, Texas had to make sure of it. They had to earn the right to do it, and they did it last night by beating Texas A&M in a game, I think, the 12, 13 years since the last time they played that game. And the last time they played, Texas won. And last night, Texas won, 17-7 final score in that one. So they're on the way to Atlanta to play against Georgia. Georgia has a chance to recoup. You'd like to know what the players did yesterday for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Those guys were so tired and up so late Friday night. But now they know who their opponent will be. Georgia knows who the opponent will be, and it will be Texas.
Can we take a second and get off the big boys for a second? And I'm going to do this later on in the show when I think he will be listening. But I want to take a moment and throw some roses toward our own David Archer and his alma mater, Iowa State.
Yeah.
I mean, these boys beat the Wildcats the first 10-win season. They're going to play the Sun Devils for the Big 12 championship. Feel how you will about the Big 12. Iowa State has been lurking in the weeds throughout the year. Let everybody talk about everybody else, and we're going to be there at the end. And these guys will be a part of, I believe, the 12 team.
I believe so.
He's got to feel like he's all pumped up going into today's Falcons game.
I really do. I'm going up to the game today. I can't wait to see Dave. I know he's excited for his team and what they're going to do. The amazing thing, though, is the team that had the impact on what happened in the conference, and the fact that I don't think they're bowl eligible, and that's Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas was the fly in the buttermilk with this whole conference, man, because they go in there and they beat, over the last month, they've beaten three ranked teams.
Yeah, they have.
And Kansas, they're going nowhere.
Nope.
You know, they're not going.
I mean, they handed it to Dion. Well, listen, they gave Dion and Colorado their best loss.
Yeah.
Because it gave Dion a chance to coach, get up there and say, yeah, y'all been feeling yourself. And everything that he said about the team reading the press and feeling how they've been feeling and all the acknowledgement they've been getting, and that loss sort of recalibrated everything for them.
They finished the year. Kansas finished the season at 5-7,
right,
and they reeled off wins over Iowa State, BYU, and Colorado. They are the reason why there was such a quandary as to who would make it from that conference. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, these ranked teams from the conference lost to a team that's not even bowl eligible. I mean, that's when you say it like that. But that also tells the story of this college football season, doesn't it?
It really does.
Matt Stewart and I worked the last game for Georgia State yesterday, and they lost to Coastal Carolina. And we said, can you tell the story of this college football season in its entirety, you know, when the last whistle blows on January 20th, without mentioning what happened at Georgia State when they beat Vanderbilt? The fact that a team of basic strangers, you know, mm-hmm, 50 new faces, new coaching staff, their third game in, they're still getting to know each other, and they beat a team that turned around and beat Alabama.
I was just going to say.
That was nationally ranked.
There's a number of little stories, little pockets.
Absolutely.
Of this college football season. So, yeah, putting that together in some sort of documentary, it would be a flight out to the West Coast. You could watch that thing and have it go on for a couple hours.
Yeah, right.
It really would be nice. And who are we sleeping on? I'm sure there's somebody we're leaving out here. And they're not all the positive ones. They're the negative ones, the ones who have you expected more from. The ones who have dipped their head, like he said, Kansas, kind of came up above water, screwed up three other teams, and then went back down,
yep.
Lost to Baylor. Right.
So, I mean, you've had some of that this season, but that's put the leveling of the playing field. And look at South Carolina. My goodness, yeah. They're knocking on the door. They're saying, hey, can we get in there? Y'all got room for us? We beat Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's the amazing thing about this season that continues to evolve, and we got the conference championship games to go.
And the one team that we're not talking about is akin to the phrase I like to say, there's nothing more boring than perfection. And speaking of Oregon, the one team that everybody just got to sleep on. Oh, yeah, we got this undefeated team over here that stepped into the Big Ten, and nobody's talking about because you're talking about all these also-rans or wondering what's going on with this team or that team. I don't know. And what happened with Clemson? We gave them, you know, pumped some life into them thinking something was going to happen. And
No.
Not so much.
Yep. SMU is there. You know, whether y'all like them, whatever y'all think about them, SMU is there.
And do we say anything about what Syracuse did yesterday to that number four team? See, that's, again, Miami being slapped around. Like, you just don't know with this team. So they finished season, 10-2. But who saw Syracuse doing this?
I know.
Who saw a lot of these teams, these upsets that we saw happen? Again, chronicling this year, it should be, we should just, when we look back, we talk about the dead ball era in baseball, we talk about the steroid era, we should just talk about this is the transfer portal.
Will this be an anomaly or will this become the norm?
No.
And I think that's the question. Is this going to become the norm going forward?
How many transfers did we hear about during these games over the last few days? So-and-so is leaving this school and they're going to that school. You know, this team did this during these last few games, and so this player has decided, oh, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to just transfer out. It's going on now. We're watching it. And the other question is, are you confident with a lot of these traditional powers that they have the right people in place to coach up some of these quarterbacks? These guys are starting to know now if you're a quarterback, if you're a linebacker, if you're running, whatever your skill position is, this is the best conference. This is the best teams within that conference that handle young quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's all because part of your recruiting plan, if you have someone that's good at that, your assistant coaches, your coordinators, the value of them and retaining them, because that's the tricky thing. If you've got someone who is good at that, somebody's going to come with a bundle of money. If they got money left after the head coaches and the buyouts and the NILs they have to prepare for the players, that's the other thing. I mean, we saw what happened yesterday. Gus Malzahn going to leave a head coaching position at Central Florida to be the OC at Florida State, which means Norvell is staying. You know, so stop all your talk about Deion Sanders going to Florida State. He wasn't going anyway. But I mean, they're going to stick with the coach. The buyouts are so expensive for these coaches at these major schools. I think they're going to say, you know what? We had a great season last year. Let's see if let's give them a chance to regroup. You know, that's the whole thing. I mean, people have been upset down in Tuscaloosa because they lost a few games. You can't go in there and run somebody out now. I mean, you gotta stick with them and ride out with them a while because you gotta give that money to your player.
And you're not thinking about, I mean, Nick Saban was not the cornerstone as far as big buyouts. Think about the guy in the state over. Whoever you're thinking about now getting the buyout, let's remember what Jimbo Fisher got as he exited stage left. What was that, $75 million?
Something like that.
And that was a few years ago.
In Texas A&M.
So, you know. Anyway, we're just getting started on this Sunday morning, first day of December. We're here till 9 o'clock, turning things over to John Fricke. Of course, we're the opening act for a full day of football action. In case you can't get in front of a TV, we got Falcons at Chargers, pregame at 11, kick at 1, and then we got San Francisco at Buffalo tonight. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You realize this is an award-winning song. Did you know that?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, award. Multi-award winning.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hang on. Can't talk over album. Well, it is cracking me up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this, well, we're officially in the Christmas season. Thanksgiving's in the rearview mirror. The calendar says December is cold as you know what out
and
there.
And all you have to do is look outside Colony Square. Man, we're all lit up, the lights and the trees and everything. I mean, when you come in on this weekend and you look out, and we always have some lights on, something decorative around this place. But when the holiday season comes, they decorate it as extra special.
It is. So, and especially the way they got this place built. And that atrium, the patio area.
Yeah. Where they're going to have the tree lighting.
It's going to look even more festive than it did last year. Every year they have ratcheted it up. Mm-hmm. In Midtown overall. By the way, Sam, that song, the Chipmunk song.
Chipmunks.
David Seville, mm-hmm. who did the song, it was released on this date. Could you guess the year?
Oh, my goodness.
And it had been around when Eisenhower was president.
Ooh, I was going to say 60s, so we're going back 50s.
But here's the thing.
Yikes.
All right. It won 3 Grammys.
Really?
That song you just heard won 3 Grammy Awards. And it went to number one. It went to number one in this country, and it hit 3 Grammys. It won for comedy performance. It won for children's recording.
Okay.
And best engineering.
Best engineering.
Best engineering at the Grammy. Way. Hey, man, you say what you want. It got 3 Grammys up on the top of that piano in that house.
Nice.
So there you go, the Chipmunk song there. Also on this day, today was kind of a famous day. Wendell Scott won a race. If you don't know who Wendell Scott is, he is considered the first black NASCAR driver. And they say because he won a race. So I guess the first champion. He won what was then the Jacksonville 200.
They didn't let him know until the next day.
Well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, they didn't let him know until the next day.
That's messed up.
Well, you know, what year was that again?
That was 1963.
See, there's a black man driving a NASCAR. First of all, that's a story. The fact that he
survived. That's right.
The fact that he survived. But you know, back then.
And they're half on the beach then, too, right?
That's Daytona.
Jacksonville. Okay.
And at the end of the races back then, there was always like a queen or someone that posed with the winning driver.
That's true, yeah.
And they had a smooch.
Okay. I think I know what you're
They getting. Let him know the next day afterwards that he. And what? His family just got the trophy here a couple of years ago, several years ago.
Huh.
They had never gotten a trophy from down there. They finally presented the trophy to the Scott family.
That story mm-hmm. and everything surrounding it is probably in the movie Grease Lightning, which we recommend everybody watching.
Yep.
That's the story of Wendell
Scott.
You can
look it up. It's been a while.
Now, watch how I bring this full circle. Who starred in Grease Lightning?
Oh, Richard Pryor.
Today was Richard Pryor's birthday. I'm not kidding you. Today was Richard Pryor's birthday.
In the movie, Wendell Scott's character gets married, and who does the wedding? You remember that?
No.
Maynard Jackson.
Oh, now that you said it, I did remember that. Yeah.
Maynard Jackson.
We got all kinds of symmetry going on here.
City of Atlanta Mayor Maynard Jackson had a role in that film, which was filmed in this area. It was filmed out of McDonough. And he performed the wedding ceremony.
The fact that you got up and you're with us at 6:45 on this December 1st.
You just not expecting
you
to get
You did not
there.
Expect that. You can tell everybody that all day long. Because you got it. We'll probably have to tell it later on in the show. We got all kinds of things we got to revisit. We got to revisit Iowa State. We got to revisit this story. And let's take some time and talk about the Atlanta Hawks.
Got to talk about them.
And what they have been doing under the radar. Man.
You know what I mean?
Slapping around Cleveland.
Our person on the other side of the glass, Noelle, is simply euphoric.
Let's bring her on.
If she has a moment to join us, we're happy to have her. And first of all, to hear her melodious tones. At this hour.
In December. This is the first time in December.
For the first time in December.
Here it comes.
Good morning.
Yeah. All right now.
All right.
What do you think about what these guys have done? You know, this 3-game win streak they got. Big deal was also winning the 2 games against Cleveland. But I think this is just as big a deal because it's the day after. It's usually one of those games you would see them stumble on.
And it's a big deal because it's a Hornet. Say what you want about Charlotte, but Charlotte has had our number for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
So it was really good to see them go out there after the 2 big wins and, one, not have a letdown, and, 2, to be able to push past and off Trae Young night, right? Like, it wasn't – the stat line wasn't typical for Trae, but everybody – like, it was a Jalen Johnson night. When I looked at the box sheet, I said, okay, Jalen, and Jalen, all right. We were able to carry it. But there's a lot of length and there's a lot of length on the floor, and there's a lot of health on this roster. And you're really starting to see what this team can look like healthy. I mean, if you notice, we're fluctuating who's even playing. Like, some nights we see Larry Nance Jr., some nights we don't.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is chemistry coming together right in front of us here, because we're just a few weeks away from what people feel like, as far as basketball fans, the beginning of the NBA season post-Christmas, mm-hmm. right? And what do we always talk about? We talk about chemistry. We talk about one thing we didn't see when Murray was here and Trey, you're starting to now see. I'm hearing it from you. I'm hearing it from Terrell. And given what this Eastern Conference, the ebbs and flows of the powers that's up there, Boston aside, you got a chance. And you know, you're looking at this season, anything I believe is possible, at least coming out of the East.
Yeah, if they can look like, if we can get more of this team mm-hmm. and less than what we saw in the beginning of the season, then this team can be a problem. Because like I said, their length defensively is clogging up a bunch of lanes. It's making people uncomfortable. Dyson has like the highest steal rate in NBA history right now, just poking the ball out left and right. And then to your point, Greg, you're seeing the chemistry and flow on the court. Like the other day I saw Dyson poke the ball out. They got it to Trey. Trey got up the floor to Jalen. We flushed it down the basket. Got to easy baskets,
yeah.
quick and
yeah.
fast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see players around Trey that make his skill set optimal. I can get y'all the ball. Y'all can do something with it. If I get doubled, I can get the ball to Jalen or hopefully Ricochet at one point. They can kind of facilitate and make something happen with their length. You seeing Jalen and Jalen Dyson and Ricochet kind of get some chemistry going. And we're seeing less single-digit nights from Ricochet.
True. That's true.
Already with only, 16 games in? So everything looks positive right now. Everything's in front of you. And we still haven't seen the best of Bogdanović yet, in my opinion.
Yep. Because he was out last night. They're probably going not doing back-to-backs with him right now as they bring him back in. But DeAndre Hunter, once again,
DeAndre Hunter,
right? Coming off the bench, letting get into the flow of the game, comes in and playing his role. 18 points last night. You know he brings. He's great defensively, but also if he can maintain that on the offensive side, it was great. Also great to see Big O out there with 11 rebounds.
The bench is big, right?
16 points and 11 rebounds for him. That's fantastic.
You got that coming off the bench. You got Bogey potentially coming off the bench when his shot really starts falling. Hunter is becoming a star off the bench right now for this team. Kobe's able to facilitate off the bench as a backup to Trey.
4 assists.
It's looking like a complete team. Like, you can put together different packages of players to go out there to do different things each night to kind of match up the best with what's going out there. You still probably need a big, more athletic starting center right now. That's probably the only thing you're really missing on this team to say, man, it's really going to be tough to go out there and play them guys.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Then my question is this to the two of you. They did a wonderful breakdown of the Atlanta Hawks. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. When does the secret sauce wear out for Orlando? That's leading this division right now, for whatever reason, ain't got a double-digit loss on, you know, these guys are still sitting at just 7 losses for the season. Is what they're doing sustainable?
I think so, because they have chemistry. Orlando's been building this and building this for, they've kind of been more successful trying to do what we've been trying to do with Banchero over here with Trey. They've been able to put the pieces around him, and they've gained a lot of chemistry, and it seems like they're ready to take that next leap. Because the whole time, it seems like everybody's been looking at, you know, Miami, the Hawks, and the Hornets to really take over the Southeastern Division, and it's quietly been Orlando just climbing their way up the ranks and being consistent and steady with their play. And I think it is consistent. I think that's the team that we really got to hawk down and knock off.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Yeah, okay.
Hawk them down.
Here's the scary thing. A guy who I've always liked, he seems to be back and healthy and doing some things and got rid of the crazy hair.
I know who you're talking about.
Who am I talking about?
You talking about Ja?
No, I'm talking about down there in Miami.
Oh, you're
Tyler
talking about
Hero. I'm not my hero.
Oh, Hero.
Yes, he's been looking like Tyler Hero of a couple years ago. And
I know that's exciting for Miami.
Yeah, it is. That's what I'm saying. Now, as they sit just above the Hawks, I'm just saying, I don't know what's going on. I'll listen to you guys about Orlando, and maybe I'll call Max up and get an idea what's going on. But Tyler Hero with that Miami team makes me a little nervous.
Miami in general can make you nervous.
Yeah,
because they're they're the front runners of this division, no matter what they look like, right? Like, it's something about that Heat culture that just propels them further past in the Eastern Conference. So that's another part of consistency the rest of the division is looking for, that Heat culture consistency.
Yeah. We're going to talk with Terrell Thomas coming up here in just a little bit. I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
All right. And I want a serious answer for this, because I've thought about this a couple times in life. You know, we're just talking about the Miami Heat, and if you heard the announcement a few weeks ago that Pat Riley is going to get a statue outside Crypto, whatever it is, Staples Center out there in L.A. for his time with the Lakers in Showtime, as well he should. Going to put him in a nice Armani suit, looking smooth as a gravy sandwich, right? That's Pat Riley, making women weak in the knees. Here's my question. Today is the birthday, or would have been the birthday, mm-hmm. of Madame Tussauds.
Okay.
Would you want a statue? Would you want a wax figure of you? Would you want one? And I have a question dependent on your answer. Would you want one, a wax figure of yourself? So if, let's say someplace here in Atlanta, you would get one before I would.
They used to have some wax figures at Underground Atlanta, and the original Underground Atlanta.
Oh, who? Like famous Atlantans or Georgians?
I'm trying to remember who they were, but they had a few down there, yeah.
Okay. So I ask you, would you want a wax figure of yourself? And the follow-up to that is, when do they decide?
Rather than a statue?
Yeah, a wax figure. Right, like you've seen these silly commercials right now where the dude's melting.
Right.
But you're inside this air-conditioned, museum. See, here's my thing.
What's that?
If you're going to make one of me, do I get to pick the age that I am? Because, see, if you make – I'm thinking that they make the wax figure of when you become a famous public figure. Okay, so if that's the case, chances are – like, if you're going to make one of Harrison Ford, it's going to be with an Indiana Jones hat, right?
Right.
Maybe Han Solo, but he's an adult then. But he's a young adult.
Right.
But if you do one of George Burns, right, Bob Hope.
Yeah, they're going to be old.
They're going to be old. And you don't want that. So, obviously Bob didn't get to pick what age he was. And then my question is, by extension, which Elvis?
Oh my God,
with the family.
Everybody goes for the young Elvis.
Again, but maybe they don't choose. They do the jumpsuit Elvis.
Yeah, they do the young Elvis when he was doing the movies and singing. And that's what they yeah.
I'm just saying, if you're going to get a wax figure, if somebody's offering me one, I get to pick what age I am. Not that I'm famous now at whatever age I am now. No. I want Greg at 24.
Well, nobody knew you then.
I don't care. I look the same. I'm going to bring in a picture. Wait a minute.
Did you want the
90s Michael Jackson, or you want a little afro Michael Jackson when he was with his brothers?
And had a nose.
Mike.
Pardon?
I want Off the Wall Mike.
Okay, I'll take that one. That's the first solo album, that one. And he still was.
He still had a nose.
And he was still brown. Okay, so so that's the Michael we want. But I was just thinking about that. Which version do you want of yourself? If they say, we're going to make a wax statue of you.
Man.
All right, I get to pick the age.
That's a decision.
Exactly. I was just thinking, that's how my mind goes. All right, heading into the 7 o'clock hours. You mentioned Terrell Thomas is going to join us. We're here only till 9. Got John Fricke coming up and get you set and a deep dive into the Falcons-Chargers game today. But we'll talk more about it with Joe Patrick coming up. But I got a casting call for you. A fresh one. There is money flying through the air. I know it's supposed to be kind of slow, but there is jobs out there and some really cool opportunities, too. In fact, Stranger Things has multiple needs. I'm on set this next week, too. I got a new project. I'm on set on Tuesday.
All right.
Anyway, having said that, it is Sam and Greg again, December 1st, this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.